Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word, and it means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. Where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar. Oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Well, my guest, Patricia King, is red hot for the Messiah. And we are featuring this week her amazing kit. You know, Patricia, so many of us. No, I'll tell you what. I'm going to rephrase that question differently. If you knew what you taught in the Create Your World series when you were a baby believer, what difference would it have made?
Oh, my gosh. Sid, the keys that are taught in that course are so significant that it'll literally change your world, because the life that we're living right now, we actually created, you know, for the most part by our belief systems, by the words we speak, by our actions. And, you know, the earlier you get to know this in your walk, the more you can create with intentionality as you partner with God.
But what about, here's my concern. I know people that have been sitting in the church for 50 years, spirit-filled churches, and don't have a clue about the keys that God's revealed to you. Is it too late for them to change their atmosphere and fulfill their destiny?
It's never too late, Sid. And, you know, a lot of times people just think, well, I'll just wait for God to show up, or I'll wait for God to do something. But it says in the Bible that the heavens belong to the Lord and the earth belongs to the sons of men. And he's given us the earth to steward, and he's given us our life to steward. And he gives us promises that we can live by and create with in him.
Well, you are known for someone that walks in supernatural love. Now, I have to tell you, I have a pet peeve. You walk into church, and the pastor says, well, everyone stand up, and you hug one another and tell them you love them, and you don't even know who they are. And it's like, what is this? That's not love. That's just words.
Yeah, you know, we have to be more than words. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, that we actually have nothing, we are nothing, and it profits nothing if we don't have true love. And then it defines what true love is, you know. And 1 Corinthians 13 is a well-known passage of Scripture, and it's easy to say, but another thing to do. And I think, Sid, is that first of all, we have to know that he loved us first. When you understand that you are loved beyond measure, you are loved unconditionally by God, and you understand the love that he shared when he died on the cross for our sins, where he offered us new life, then you can begin to let that life flow out to others. And you can create a world, create a whole realm of love everywhere you go if you're intentional about that.
You know, I think every true believer would like that, but they don't have a handle on how to do it. What would you say was the turning point for you?
Well, I think, Sid, one of the things that made me understand love more than any other time in my life and seasoned me in love, when I went through a long season of pretty hefty persecution. And it came on some very high levels. There was a lot of, you know, people, you know, speaking very negative and very bitter things against me publicly and everything. And it was a time when I thought, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he said, I just want you to love. And I was really discouraged one day, and I said, Lord, I just want to love. I'm doing my best to, you know, to work these things through and to, you know, process the best I can with those that are in opposition, but I don't know what else to do. And up out of my spirit rose these words, you know, I declare war. I declare war. And I thought, no, I don't want to declare war. I just want to, you know, I just want to be at peace. And then the third time it was, I declare a love war. And I realized what God was saying. He said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And when you look at the journey that Jesus had in his life, he was opposed on every side, but he never, ever failed in love. He never lost love. He never withdrew love. And the Lord said, are you willing to embrace my sufferings because they're love sufferings? Are you willing to love those to the nth degree, to bless them, to undergird them, to honor them when they are doing the exact opposite to you? And he said, if you will do that, if you will do that, you will have the foundation of the kingdom living within you, which is love.
Tell me about the homeless man that put all these words to a test.
You know, Sid, this is really embarrassing in some ways because, you know, as a Christian minister, you want to, you know, proclaim love. And one night, this was a number of years ago, I was doing a meeting and I'd had this homeless young man kind of follow us around. He'd come into our meetings and he had a lot of BO. His teeth were rotten. His breath was bad. I mean, everything about him just everything in me wanted to reject him. And so one night I saw him come through the door into the meeting and I thought, I think I'll just slip into the prayer room for a moment. So I slipped into the prayer room and closed the door so that I would isolate myself from him. And in my attitude inside the prayer room, I thought, oh good, I made it. You know, I got away from that guy. And the Lord nailed me. You know, sometimes we can, you know, just be in such a rotten attitude and think it's okay. And he nailed me and he said, you know, if you continue to reject him, he will become more rejectable to you. But if you will accept him, he'll become more acceptable to you. And I was convicted to the core, and I went out there, and he was actually standing out the door waiting for me. And I looked at him, and I felt so much compassion and love, I invited him to sit right beside me. And he was so happy to do that.
Now, did you really feel the compassion and love, or were you really just trying to be obedient to what you realized God wanted you to do?
When I looked at him that night, I saw him through the eyes of compassion because I was so convicted by what I had done. And so it was a choice, plus it was coming into a connection of how much God loved him. And so I invited him out after the meeting as well to have coffee with some friends of mine, and he sat down and had coffee with us. Over time, he became a really good friend, and I remember even the next week after the coffee time, he came into the meeting the following week. He was all dressed up. He had bought a suit at the secondhand store, and he was all dressed up, and he had a big Bible under his arm and declared that he was a man of God. And, you know, we just loved him through the coming months. And after a number of months, actually, he came to me and he said, Patricia, I got a job. And the job was outside of our city. He actually had to move to get the job. And we were also sad because we had come to love him that much. And it all happened by choosing to accept him rather than reject him.
Do you know, if you hadn't operated in love, he could have gotten offended eventually and went right back in the streets, and his life would have been totally wasted.
Exactly. Love is so important, Sid. We've seen love, just a little bit of love, filling a person who has love deficits can totally transform their life.
Tell me about your work in Cambodia and Thailand with the sex slaves.
Yeah, a number of years ago, the Lord led me to go to Bangkok, and he said, I want to show you some things about sex tourism, which I thought, okay, I'd never heard of sex tourism before. When I arrived there, I realized that there was children and young girls, young boys being exploited for the purpose of sex trade. People were coming from all over the world to buy sex. And it just broke my heart. In fact, I was so overwhelmed. I remember sitting in a bar with a young girl And, you know, she looked so young. She looked about 15 years of age or something. And she shared her story with me and how she had been sent into Pattaya to work at the bars by her own parents. And she went there as a virgin and was prostituted out. And she had tears filling up her eyes. And it just broke my heart, but it overwhelmed me. I thought, what can we do? And love will always have an answer. When you're overwhelmed, when your heart is overwhelmed, when you go to God who is love, he will give you an answer. And so he gave us just a little project to work on. We went into the bars one night and sang some love songs and some special music. We asked the brothel owner if we could be the entertainment for the night and sing some love songs on Valentine's Day, and she said yes. And they were Jesus love songs. We didn't tell her that, but, you know, we just went in and sang. And through the atmosphere changing because of love, because of creating an atmosphere of love, we were able to reap a harvest that night where a number of girls gave their lives to Jesus Christ. We went back. It gave us so much encouragement that we went back a number of months later and hosted a love feast for the girls in the brothels for 120 girls. We set up a beautiful hotel, a beautiful meal. We went out to the bars and bought girls out of the bars for $30 for the night because the brothel owners wouldn't let them go unless we paid. And we sat them in this banquet feast and told them how much God loved them. For the most part, most of them had never, ever been told that, ever. Over 80% of the girls that night gave their lives to Jesus Christ because of love, because they felt love. And a number of them left the bars that night, never to return again. We were able to get them into programs. But from that night, the Lord continued to propel us in love to rescue little children, which we work a lot with children at risk now, delivering them out of the sex trade, putting them in proper homes, getting their health back up, educating them. And it was all propelled by love.
You know, the thing that is so amazing to me is your whole series, Create Your World by Changing Your Atmosphere. You literally not only get them out of the sex trade, not only get them saved and discipled, but God is giving you tremendous business ideas. Do you have a big background in business? And these business ideas are supporting them now.
I don't have a business background. I have a nursing background, and then after I left my nursing career, I went into full-time preaching and ministering on the mission fields. But a number of years, the Lord spoke to me that he was about his father's business, and he showed me how we can actually change the atmosphere of communities and nations by establishing businesses. So the first business we started in Cambodia was with a bag of soap, Sid. It was, you know, we were in a very poor area. People were selling their children because they didn't have money to...
Oh, I'm so sorry. We're out of time. This is so fascinating to me. But I want you to change the atmosphere in your home. A lot of people know the U.S. is going to go through some very bad financial times. But do you realize, you and God in partnership, that'll make no difference. It'll be the best time you've ever had in your life. I want your world to change by creating a God atmosphere around you in every area. And that's why I want Patricia King to mentor you with 5 CDs, 15 lessons, a interactive workbook, and a book called Create Your World, all available for a gift of $59. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222 Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.